Romans chapter 1, and we were looking at verse 17, and I'm going to read verses 16 and 17, and then focus on the latter part of verse 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel of Christ is a message of salvation to the ones believing. When you find the word believeth in the King James, this word is in the present tense. This is something that you're doing all the time. So the message of the gospel of Christ is for the ones that are believing in the present tense. This message is not to the lost, but to the saved, and to the saved that are being faithful. The Philippian jailer believed Aristens to be part of the family. And then God expected him, as well as others, to start believing in the present tense. And what the problem is that many of God's children quit doing that. In verse 17, it expands upon this message of the gospel of Christ for the believing. It says, the just shall live by faith. Last Sunday we talked about being just. Being just has to do with being obedient to God's commandments. And we went over Luke chapter 1 verse 6 about Zacharias and Elizabeth. This is by way of review a little bit. Zacharias and Elizabeth were both just. Why? Because they kept the ordinances and the commandments of God blameless. Now today we don't keep the ordinances of God because they were nailed to His cross, and so therefore we don't go to the temple three times a year as was required of every male in the days when the temple or the law was active and functioning. But we are required to keep His commandments if we want to be just. I'm going to use an illustration of this in the life of Cornelius. Now, this is not in your notes, but I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles with you, to Acts chapter 10, verse 2. Cornelius was a Gentile. And here it tells us that Cornelius was a devout man. He was devoted. I think that he was devoted not only to God, but he was devoted to his family, and he was devoted to the nation of Israel, because he says he was a devout man, one that feareth God with all of his house. He taught his home. He taught in his home the fear of God. He was a man who gave much alms. Almsgiving has to do with a ministry. He had a ministry. To whom? To others outside the family. He was reaching out to others outside the family. And Cornelius was a man of prayer. Then if you skip down to verse 22 of Acts 10, it says, and they said, Cornelius the centurion, by the way, Cornelius was in the army, and he continued to be in the army of Rome after his turn to truths pertaining to the coming kingdom, but let's go on. It says that Cornelius was a centurion, a just man. This word just here is the same word just as found in Romans 1 and in verse 17. Cornelius was a just man, and one that feareth God, a good report among the nation of the Jews. The nation of Israel thought well of him. He probably was a Jewish proselyte. So, I'm reading this verse 22 to show you that Cornelius was a just man. A just man is one who is devout. A just man is one who fears God. A just man is one who is not stingy, who has a ministry. A just man is one who prays. A just man, again, is and it's repeated, he is one who fears God, and he had a good report among the nation of Israel. Then in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, it says, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Peter began to preach to Cornelius the message that Gentiles had one time been denied. What message was that? "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Lord Jesus Christ was not denying salvation to Gentiles. He was just denying the positions of honor and glory in the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to Gentiles and offering it only to the nation of Israel. But what I see here is this. Here we find Peter coming to him and preaching a message to a Gentile that God had told him not to do in Matthew chapter 10. Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, but go unto the perishing sheep of the house of Israel and preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That message of repenting of the kingdom of heaven is at hand is not how to be saved, but how to rule and reign or have an inheritance in the coming kingdom. Inheritance, by the way, is a family matter, and we don't inherit salvation. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, and then there are other factors for entering into the coming kingdom, which we can discuss sometime later. But anyway, in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, it says, "To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth," present active, "in him should receive remission of sins." Remission of sins is deliverance from the bondage of sin. If we're under the bondage of sin, we're serving sin. And so therefore, if we begin to believe or become faithful, then we are delivered from that bondage. Now, what this means is this to me. Cornelius was just. And because he was just, he was qualified to live by faith. If you're not just, you can't live by faith. Being just means that you are not living in sin. The sins of the flesh are not controlling your life. You can't live in sin and please God at the same time. Because we know that without faith it is impossible to please Him. And so this passage of Scripture here in Romans 1:17 is talking about what does it take to qualify yourself to please God. It says that the just shall live by faith. The word "shall live" is in the middle voice. And what that means is this, if you were to translate that, you live for yourself. Living for yourself is that you yourself have a desire and a plan and a purpose to please God. So, this has to do with one's lifestyle. This is something that I choose to do. It's not forced upon me. That's the reason why Paul encouraged those to whom he ministered to continue in the faith. Because you can depart from the faith. And by the way, faith is for the saved and not the lost. Okay? Now, they shall live by or by means of, that preposition can be translated by means of, faith. Faith is the lifestyle. Let me just say this. Faith is a noun. You don't do anything by faith because it's a noun. Believe is a verb. Believeth is a participle. The present active participle, believeth, is actually a noun that is equivalent to faith. But faith is a noun. Now, what is interesting is this. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it says, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterward be revealed. Faith was revealed to humanity after the law. Before the law, it was not revealed. Now, people will say, oh, well, Abraham lived by faith. Well, if you read a little further in Romans, it says that faith was imputed to Abraham. He was given credit for living by faith because something had to happen before faith could be effectual or work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14, it says, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain and your faith is also vain. Faith did not become operative or revealed until the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is one of the blessings that we have as New Testament believers, is that we have the ability to please God in a way that the Old Testament believers could not do, because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and so therefore our faith is vain. Why is it not vain? Well, in verse 24 it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Now who is Christ? Christ is our high priest. This is not talking about lost people getting saved. This is talking about saved people taking advantage of the blessing of faith, and it's through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe on the Lord Jesus to be saved. We come to the throne of grace to participate in grace through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Justification by faith has to do with if you're just and you're living by faith, you're not going to be chargeable. That means you're not going to, God's not going to say, look, these are things that you have done that have not pleased me. It means that you're pleasing Him. In Hebrews chapter 9 verse 11 tells us that it is Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. The law brought us to Christ. In other words, the law taught us the significance of the high priestly office. How would we know what the high priestly office would be like? Except that we have the Old Testament to teach us about the high priest and about the office of a priesthood. And so the law was our schoolmaster. The law was teaching us what it meant to be, to have a high priest. And Christ is our high priest today. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we have a reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why? The resurrection of the dead, it helps our hope to be a living hope. And by the way, when it says He hath begotten us again unto a living hope, that means He had begotten us again, or begotten us before. In other words, there are two beginnings here. One has to do with being in the family, being born from above. The second one has to do with the inheritance. Because I didn't have room to put all the verses in here, but verse 4, it says that in living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, for an inheritance undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. We will have a heavenly inheritance if we don't make shipwreck of the faith. Now, how does faith come? In other words, we want to have faith. We want to be able to please God. At least I do, and I believe you do too. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it tells us, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." How do we grow or increase in faith? By hearing preaching. Now this preaching is not to the lost, but to the saved. This preaching is not to the unjust, and that is, when I talk about the unjust, I'm talking about those that are living under the sins of the flesh, of drunkenness and adultery and being a thief, common sins that we are all familiar with. This message of for faith is not for that group of people. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now what is the Word of God? I think that is significant. A lot of people think that this whole book is the Word of God. But really, when you get right down to it, this is the Scripture, and the Word of God is found in it. And, the Word of God that I have discovered is the butter that comes through churning the milk of the Scriptures. You churn it, you get butter, okay? This is what the Lord ate. He ate butter and honey. So let me just point out to you in Luke chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, it defines what the Word of God is. Luke 8 is the parable of the sower, verses 10 and 11. is concluding this parable. And he said unto you, talking to his disciples, "It is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Now the parable, that is, the parable of the sower, is this. The seed is the Word of God. The seed. The sower was sowing the seed. And the seed that was being sown was the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So therefore, the seed is the Word of God. And so what is the Word of God? It's the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The mysteries of the kingdom of God have to do with His coming kingdom and glory. It has to do with ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. Now, one thing about faith is this. You can have faith to remove mountains. Isn't that something? You can have faith to remove mountains. A lot of people think of faith as being miracles. I'm living by faith, so I'm a miracle worker. And so when you think about being a miracle worker, like Jesus and others in the first part of the, or in the Gospels, you sure do feel like you don't have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, because you're not moving mountains and you're not jerking up sycamine trees and you're not walking on water. And even in Minnesota, it's got to be in February or January to do that. But anyway, the point is this. Faith will not work apart from love. You have to have love. And I'm not. This is not fuzzy feelings. Gene sent me a card, one of these email cards on the computer, and she sent me fuzzy feelings. Was that it? Fuzzy?
Warm.
Oh, warm fuzzies. Warm fuzzies. And that's not what love is. It's not warm fuzzies. Love has to do with ministering and reaching out to others. Now, so faith that worketh by love. So we've got to have love for others if we're going to, faith is going to be operative. Now, in Hebrews 11:1, faith is defined. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When I look at faith, faith gives substance to things that I'm hoping for. In Colossians 1:27, it says, "The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You know what faith does for me? It gives substance to glory. Glory where? Not some shiny light up in the sky. It's the glory of His coming kingdom. It gives substance to that coming kingdom and glory. It makes it real. I don't see it, but I do believe it is there. The glory has to do with His coming kingdom in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you should walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. That's the glory that is real. His kingdom and all the glory that goes with it. When you are a king, you have glory. And if you're one of the kings or one of the lords, you're going to share in that glory. There's going to be a right hand and a left hand at the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ in His coming kingdom. And don't you believe that there's going to be glory with those positions? Absolutely, there will be glory for those positions. Now, hope is, by the way, hope is not a sure thing. Okay? A lot of people want to teach you that hope is a sure thing in the Bible, and it's not. But God wants us to abound in hope. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's in the present tense. That ye may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. God wants us to abound in hope. Because when you lose hope, it's just like a swimmer who is trying to get to the shore. And when you lose all hope, what do? You go under. You give up. Same thing happens when a person is sick in the hospital. When they give up hope, they usually on the road to dying. But God does not want us to give up hope. He wants us to abound in hope. Abound in hope of what? Hope of ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. It's not a guarantee. Not a guarantee. 1 Peter 1:21 says, by Him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, do believe, present active, in God, that raised Him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. God did that for Jesus Christ. If I have put substance to glory, and it affects my life, God's going to raise me from the dead and give me glory just like He did to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if I quit believing in the present tense, that's not going to happen. Now, the evidence of hope. One thing faith does is it focuses on the hope, and then that focus on the hope produces or should produce evidence in your life. And I've given you an illustration of this from the New Testament. Paul was in prison. And Paul was being held in prison. And in Acts 24, verse 26 and 7, it says, and he hoped, present tense, this is Festus, was hoping also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener, and communed with him. Now here is a man who hoped that he'd get a little money, a little under the table money. Now, what behavior did this hope produce in Festus's life? Well, he called Paul down to talk often, maybe two or three times a day, hoping that Paul would grease his palm. That's what hope does, is it stimulates activity to get what you're hoping for. And he did it often. And of course, Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, being willing to show the Jews' pleasure, left Paul bound. In other words, the hope vanished. He wasn't going to get any money from Paul, so he says, you can just rot in jail, that's all. That's what happens when hope gives up. You just make the other guy pay for it. Okay? Now, another illustration of this has to do with Paul's trial in Acts 26, verses 6 and 7. It says, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, under which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come." You know what? The nation of Israel was hoping for their Messiah. They were hoping for a blessing from God. You know what that hope produced in them? It produced a desire to serve God day and night. Now, not all of them did that, obviously, because today they're scattered abroad. But that hope of the promise made to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that is to inherit that land and to have a heavenly inheritance as the stars of the sevens. And they served God constantly. It says instantly. This doesn't have anything to do with instant grits or instant potatoes. This has to do with constantly serving God with anticipation of that hope. James tells us, "You show me my faith, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Faith has to do with evidence in your life. Evidence, that is, of ministry, just like in the life of Cornelius. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, "Remembering your work of faith and labor of love and patience or endurance of hope." These all go together. I just think about the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation. There were some things missing in that church. And there was no work of faith. There was no labor of love. You see, it can go away. The church at Thessalonica had a work of faith. In fact, it tells us in John 6:29 that the work of God is to believe in the present tense. That's faith, working. The work of God is to believe. And then in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do ministry." That's a work of faith right there, ministering to the saints. Now, part of the evidence of pleasing God, of pleasing Him, is to appreciate the fact that we need to know that without faith it is impossible to please Him. Now, what should this do for us? How should we behave? How can we show that we are living by faith? Well, Hebrews 11:6, the latter part, he says, "He that cometh to God." That's in the present tense. That's not an occasional thing. It's a continuous thing of coming to God. Daily fellowship with God. If you're not daily seeking and coming to God, you're not living by faith. It's a daily thing. And we have to believe that He is, and that He is going to reward us for doing this. Rewards have to do with honor and glory in His coming kingdom. And it also has to do with being diligently seeking Him. We need to come to Him and diligently seek Him. I think diligently seeking Him is that there's something hindering you in having fellowship with Him for some reason, for some sin. The diligence in seeking Him is making adjustments in your life through confession of sin, repentance from dead works. This has to do with the diligence in seeking Him. Got a barrier there? Talk to the Lord about it. Tear down the barrier through confession of sin and change of lifestyle. In 1 John chapter 2 or 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Beloved, we know that when He shall appear, that is, as King of kings and Lord of lords, we shall be like Him." What does that mean? That we too will be King of kings and Lord of lords. This is not talking about a heavenly body. This is talking about position. We shall see Him as a King and as a Lord. "And for we shall see Him as He is, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And every man that hath this hope..." What hope? the hope of being a king, the hope of being one of his lords. What's he going to do? He's going to purify himself, even as the Lord is pure. That is, without spot or blemish. If you have the hope of ruling and reigning with Christ, you're going to clean your life up. If you have lost hope, you're going to fall into the depths of the sins of the flesh. That's the reason why preaching of the mysteries of the kingdom of God generate hope, and it solidifies the glory and it makes it real. Okay? Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for the hope of glory. That's what I'm looking for. I'm waiting for Him to come. And I'm waiting for Him to come to share with me His glory in His coming kingdom. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, if you're living by faith, I think you're going to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. You're going to set a special place in your heart and in your life for God. That's called godliness. And not only that, you're going to be making yourself ready to give answers. You know what that means? That's studying the Scriptures. You're going to make yourself ready to give answers to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear. I think that, you want to share this truth, but the problem is that you can't share it just with anyone. But you got to be ready to give an answer for that hope to people who ask questions. If they're not asking questions, don't give them answers that they're not having. You know, a lot of people don't have any questions. If they don't have any questions, they're not studying. But anyway, be ready. Another thing too is sowing to the Alba Spirit. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. He that soweth to the Spirit, and I believe this is the Abba Spirit, that is, not my will but thine be done, this is the Spirit in which the Lord demonstrated, shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting. Now a lot of people want to apply everlasting life or life everlasting to salvation. The word everlasting is actually the Greek word age. Life for the age. What age? The kingdom age. And so we're going to reap the hope of a kingdom life. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap the hope if we faint not. If you faint and quit, you're not going to realize the hope that you once had to rule and reign with Christ. You know what it takes to do that? It takes prayer. If you're living by faith, you're in prayer. In Luke chapter 1, verse 18, it says, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, and what? And not to faint. When your prayer life goes to pot, you know what you're getting ready to do? You're getting ready to quit. You're getting ready to faint. And you're not going to reap life for the age. And what are we to be praying about? Well, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in this heaven. We've been praying about what? The coming kingdom. And we need to be praying about our own relationship to that hope of glory. In John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, the Lord tells His disciples, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you receive, that your joy may be full. A lot of people think that all they have to do is say, in Jesus' name, and you automatically get it. Well, you know what? I used to say that a lot. And you know what? I didn't get what I asked for either. You know what it means to pray in Jesus' name? Well, I didn't include it in the notes, but praying in Jesus' name, the word name here is really a reference to the Word of God, which is the mysteries of the kingdom. When you're praying about and focusing on the hope of glory, you can ask anything that you need to rule and reign with Christ, and you got it. Anything you need to have your joy full. When does we get full joy? At the judgment seat of Christ, when we hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. If your prayer life is pertaining to whatever it takes for you to have to rule and reign with Christ, you have it. I guarantee it. Based upon the Scriptures, the authority of the Scriptures, whatever you need to make it, that you might have full joy, you just pray in Jesus' name. It says, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, asking you see that your joy may be full." And Jesus said, "If you ask in my name," in John 14, "that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That sure changes the tone of, you know, praying for a new motorcycle. I heard a preacher one time tell me that a Sunday school teacher came up and told him, he says, "Everybody in my Sunday school class is going to get a new bicycle for Christmas." And he says, "Oh, really?" He says, "Are you going to buy them one?" "Oh, no." She says, "We all prayed in Jesus' name that we'd get one." It doesn't work that way. That's not what that's for. In Matthew 25:23, it says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." What is a person doing that's living by faith? He's done well. He's good. He's just. He's faithful. He doesn't quit. He's been faithful over few things. He's done got much recognition. He's still teaching and preaching, faithful to the Lord and to the ministry of that God has given him. And he's going to enter into the joy of the Lord. And what do we need to be doing? Today we need to be holding fast the confidence of that hope. Hebrews 3:6. "But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." There's got to be rejoicing. There's got to be holding fast the confidence of the hope. And that confidence in the hope is based upon what faith does to that hope. It puts substance to it. And Paul told Titus that we should be heirs according to the hope of age-lasting life. If you have a little hope, you're going to have a little inheritance. Because you're not going to be faithful as much as you should be. That's the whole key. But if you are intense and in the hope, if you're living like Paul, you're going to have a crown of righteousness laid up for you in the heavenlies. So, what do we need to be doing? Colossians 1:23. "If you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard." We need to be continuing in the faith and not moved away from it, from the hope. May the Lord help us to see the value of living by faith and knowing, first of all, you've got to be obedient to the Lord before you can live by faith. Father, I just pray that you'd bless the thoughts of this message to each of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to look for the evidence in our life that we're living by faith and that we're not reprobate concerning the faith. May it glorify thee and may it profit us as we muse on these scripture verses, that one day we might stand in your presence and hear, "Well done," and enter into the joy of the Lord. For these things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.